Hey y'all, I'm Myth, and I'm the weirdest bitch you know. This is my podcast. Hello, how are you doing? It's Thursday, and I'm actually doing really good. I've made like 3 or 4 more episodes that I just am never gonna, they're never gonna see the light of day, but that's okay. I feel like every single one that I had started kind of like I end up trailing off. And then I have like a discovery, like each time there's something that comes up where I'm like, oh, that's why I needed to make this. So if you're listening to this now, that means I went ahead and published something, which is cool. Maybe. My listenership has grown. I think, so I got a sweet message today from one of y'all who said, I'm one of the 9, because I had mentioned that my listenership was 9 people, but it's grown quite a bit, and thank you for that. I think I get really stuck in like, I need to have a format. I need to have a way that things go on here. And that's just, it's just not true. I get like really in my head about like, oh, should I have guests? Should I do da 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 da? All these different ideas to make the podcast good. Like I definitely need, I'm going to do it again. Like I need a microphone. but whatever. I think at this point, if you're still listening, there's something here for you and there's something that keeps you coming back. So cool. I'm never gonna monetize this podcast. My last podcast I did monetize it, and then I felt weird about that. And so I donated the money the few dollars really that I got from it. But I have a Patreon. If you want to support me, the podcast, if something helps you, that is a place to, give me money if you really want to do that. But, I'm not going to make you guys listen to ads. I will make you listen to a siren. I burp in your ear. you get the breathy, like push sometimes in the phone microphone, like whatever. I can't add ads to that because it just feels yucky. So I'm just gonna do what I always do, which is like, if you want to donate, if you want to send me money, fuck yeah, cool. There's all kinds of ways to do that. Cash App, A Mythic Witch, PayPal, Sleepy House Healing, Patreon, if you want to learn tarot and herbal medicine related content, and also just read my blog. I think that's the thing. It's like really turning, my Patreon is turning more into a blog, and again, quite personal. If you want to spend $2 a month and read my shit, you can, but also none of that's necessary. I'm happy you're here. If something I say resonates with you, or, you know, you feel less alone in the world because of the weirdest bitch you know, then good. That's exactly what I want. I feel like every time I get on Facebook, it's like choosing violence. I commented on a local post from somebody I don't even know, but it's in local Facebook, which I won't say where because, you know, safety, yada, yada. I feel like eventually people are going to know where I'm from, and I don't want that. Just because I have seen, especially over the last few weeks, just how people can get really, really mad, and other people can get obsessive in another way that I'm also not excited to deal with. I don't know. It's hard because a lot of what I want to talk about has to do with local stuff, because I was born here. I live in this place again. And I used to, part of why I think I was just so convinced that I was like, you know, could never belong, had no community, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, I'm from a place where it feels like everything's really tight knit, but that I've always been on the outside of that. And reading this Facebook post today, again, that came up for me because it's someone talking, it was like, I guess, a business owner just ranting about how nobody wants to work and people are lazy and blah, blah, blah. You know, the stuff that we've all kind of seen from, usually if you're like, you know, there's like some relative you might have that acts like that, that wants to cite, you know, when they were five and working for 15 cents an hour and a kick in the face, you know, and being like, that was what I had to do. Now people are mad about minimum wage being $7. And it's like, yeah, dude, $7 minimum wage here where their rent is $1,000 a month in my shitty little town. Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense, especially if it's like adults, you know. But most jobs here are like that, you know. Business owners really want you to give up your life and to be happy about it for them to pay you next to nothing. And I've worked at a few different places here locally, tried to make it, you know, like tried to deal with that only to just have it further reinforced that like, oh, there's something wrong with me. I can't do this. Like 9 to 5 makes me want to kill myself, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, which, you know, sorry, I don't mean to make light of like a suicidal ideation. It was very much real for me in the times that I've worked here at local businesses. I'm sorry, but it was absolute torture. And, I think what this brought up for me is something I might have published an episode about this where one of my patterns that I have noticed in myself is I start sensing that you're going to reject me, so I reject you first. I will be confrontational. I will be bitchy because I get this sense that you're going to reject me, which is something I'm really working on. I'm working on keeping an open mind and not just being like combative for no reason. And I know where this comes from. This is not an excuse. This is not me saying that it's okay that I do this. It's not. I have shut people out that didn't deserve it. I've been, you know, prickly and rude with people who would later become my friends. Like, thank you. Thank you for like pushing through me being a little like, you know, prickly when we first meet, because I have been rejected so much. I've been rejected so much that when I do open up with someone, when I do make a new friend, when I do start trusting somebody genuinely, it gives them so much power because I love really hard. I love really hard. And when I love someone, I would give you whatever you need to be okay. I will. I'm that kind of a friend. But I think only maybe about 3 people in total see that part of me, because I am so much like I'm just prepared to be rejected. And it's based in something really valid. And if you look around, again, I don't want to give away where I live, but it's not a good place in a lot of ways. It's like I feel a responsibility here to be, especially as a white person, just in this town, in the South, with the history of this place and the surrounding areas, y'all, I feel a responsibility to the land when I see how much pollution is just going totally unchecked. When I see everybody here just litters, it's like I live in such a beautiful place. Like the natural beauty of the landscape is so amazing. And people just treat it like a fucking dumpster. And then, you know, it's like the religious indoctrination of this area, the way that religion is pushed and shame is used as a tool. It's just like, in so many ways, I'm kind of amazed that I am the person that I am, and I am still healing so much. I'm still healing so much of what I was brought up with, not from my family necessarily, I would say most of the time, not my family, but from just the general atmosphere of being here. And I think too, my family, while I don't know that they would say this, I think that there's wounding that comes from this sort of environment that can change the way that you behave and the way that you parent. And I feel like what I try to do and what I am doing is part of breaking the generational curses and hexes. I really do feel like I'm healing intergenerational trauma, and not in, well, I was going to say not in the way you might think, but maybe it is the way you think, you know, because I think what can happen is we think that intergenerational trauma is your great-great-grandfather beat the shit out of his kids, and then now your dad also beat the shit out of you. And it can be like that. It can be that. But I think it also can be like just looking at the patterns and the ways that you have been told, like, this is how it is. This is how reality is. These are our virtues. These are our values. This is how to be a good person. And then you find out that a lot of that shit is not true, that a lot of those values and virtues are just straight up bullshit. One of them being that hard work equals good money. I mean, that was sort of, I want to read this post. I'm not going to read this person's name, but like this post, like y'all, the fact that anybody even agrees with me and the ways that I like actually kind of just responded that like, no, the fact that anybody said anything opposing what this person said, I'm so happy actually, because that is progress. I have to admit that where I live, the public school experience that I had, part of it was really rough and awful for me because of ADHD that was not diagnosed or taken care of. But even if you are not neurodivergent, like, just the mentality, the way, the stuff that people are taught here, the way that we're taught, and the way that school has just been, school has never been about education, especially here. And it's like, it's so tough, I think, because on the one hand, I'm like, okay, you know, I want public schools to be better because they serve so much of our community. And at the same time, I look at my public school experience. I look at like what I went through just being, trying to be myself and trying to learn. And it's like, damn, I did not have a fucking chance. Almost everything that I know about, even just the history of my town and my state, I feel like slavery was glossed over. I feel like, no, seriously, like the Holocaust, like we read the book Night in high school. And still, you know, we just, very little was talked about oppression because I think that's pretty inconvenient. Again, I don't want to give away where I live, but let's just say the history is pretty fucked up. And that is part of why, as a white person here, I feel like at times I've really overcorrected, because I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I was a racist kid. I didn't know I was a racist kid because I thought, as a kid, I thought being racist meant you're a KKK member. I thought it meant you are going out of your way to be, I thought it meant doing hate crimes. But then growing up, going to college, it's like, on the one hand, I feel embarrassed and ashamed that it took me going to college to find out this stuff. But like, it just was not taught to me that racism is not about just the interpersonal, who's being mean to who. You know what I mean? It's not about that. There's an institutional element. There is, you know, again, there's the intergenerational element of like, well, just like look at wealth, you know, that's still a place where the U.S. has not at all reconciled with reparations, right? And so a lot of adults here still think that racism is like you have to be in the KKK or doing hate crimes. And that's just not fucking true. You are, you know, that's not what racism means. And so I look at the times that I have either, you know, literally as a child perpetuated something racist or repeated something that I heard. Not even, again, not really from my family, just because my family just, we didn't talk about it. And what's weird to me too is that I have friends here that like are Black and their family didn't talk about racism either, which I find more and more we're all talking about it, which is good, but it's just like, holy shit, you know? So I'm just saying this only because I think in some ways I have really overcorrected as an adult. I have probably done harm in just like the way that I have, especially with other white people, been like, no, that's racist. And then instead of, you know, like calmly trying to invite them in or explain, you know, I get like really upset because I know the harm. Now I can look and see like, oh, that's the harm that's doing. Anyway, all of this to just give some context, because there are people that have literally never left my town, and they still are thinking in a way where it's like, on the one hand, I'm trying really hard to not be judgmental and be a piece of shit to everyone, or think that I'm like smarter or better or something. I'm not better than these people. That's the thing. But then sometimes the shit that they say, it just like, it makes me so mad. It makes me so mad. And I feel like I'm just fulfilling, when I say something, like anytime I engage on like local Facebook, I feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose as the spooky town witch, because I really just will not censor myself, because I've realized that I don't need the approval of these people at all. Why would I want the approval of people? Excuse me. See, burping in your ear. Why would I want the approval of someone who literally thinks that people aren't worth $7 an hour? Why would I want your approval? You clearly do not have any beliefs that like make any sense. Like to me, that you are so backwards that it's like, I feel sorry for you. I'm not saying that on the post. On Facebook, obviously, it's just like, this is the place where I go if I want to get mad, I guess. But anyway, I'm going to read this post that someone made in a local Facebook group, because it's just, it's so fucked up. Okay. Here's the post. To people looking for a job, an employer gets a lot of applications. Some people come in looking like they just got out of bed with uncombed hair, dragging their feet, body odor or bad body odor, holding their cell phone in their hands as they ask for an application. After you spend your time going through those applications, spend money doing a background check and call potential employees, this is what you hear. I don't really want a job. I just have to put in 2 applications a week to keep drawing unemployment. Start out at minimum wage. I need twice that. I can't get up that early. I got fired from my last job because my boss was a butthead. I could do his job better than he could. I have anxiety attacks and I can't work with people or on a cash register. I need off on Friday and Saturdays, which are your busiest days. So if you're seriously interested in a job, show up early, alert, dress neat, clean, phone left out of sight, and tell them you really want a job. Call back or return in person to let them know you're available. Okay, this post, I didn't say where the quotes were, but the ones where she's like complaining about what potential employees have said, I really wish that everyone in the group, I could just see whose businesses are whose, because I just don't want to ever spend my money with any of these people. But the way that some of them have said, basically, no one will use the word pandemic. they're basically just talking about how lazy everyone is and how, you know, there's one person that hopped on the post before me that said, this post reeks of entitlement. And they're so true. It's so, I'm so happy I was not the only person to speak up. But it's just like, this is the mentality here. The mentality here is you're supposed to work, even if you, and just give up everything, even if your employer is a fucking entitled asshole. So I can't believe they left the comments open, because so much of what I have posted is like, it's making them mad, but it doesn't matter. Because here's the thing. We're a college town. More and more people are coming here. And I hate the idea that like we have to get gentrified for things to change. But there's like one old man that owns a bunch of restaurants, and he like refuses to even, it seems like he doesn't even want to sell the old buildings that he's not, that he doesn't have any, like have a restaurant in anymore. And like, there's nothing to fucking eat here. There's nothing to eat here. I would love there to be new stuff. Like, seriously. But yeah, so much of what I see here is just like these older people in this town where it's like, I feel bad for you. I feel bad for you. You are still like, one of the comments is like, that hike in unemployment wages due to COVID made people lazy and not want to work. It's like every poor person I know spends almost all of their energy trying to figure out how to survive. But people are so, so divorced from that here. They're just like, they think, oh, well, I was poor and I struggled, so you have to do the same thing. Or they're like, what is this? Sorry, I was just looking at another post. Or they're like, oh, they've literally never had to work. They just own a business and they want people to work for nothing, literally, which is what I'm seeing a lot too. And they're like, oh, well, they're supposed to give everything up. That's how you're a good employee, basically. And it's like, this is all based on the virtue that hard work makes you a good person. And it's not true. As somebody who fucking loves, listen, y'all, I love to work. I'm a Capricorn and so, like, just through and through, I have, you know, Capricorn all over my chart. Okay? I love working. I really do. I like making stuff. I like producing. You know, all the things that make me anti-capitalist, it's like, in some ways, I fight my own nature, which is that I love to produce. I love to produce. I like to be in charge. You know, in some alternate fucked up timeline, I would be the evil CEO. But but I'm not, because I've experienced working under the evil CEO plenty of times. And because I think I've evolved enough maybe to know that that's, I don't know. I've studied just myself enough to realize that that is such a pitfall. Like, I don't think I could actually be happy doing that, right? Also, it's not in my reach. Like, I'm way too ADHD. But what I'm trying to say here is that, like, there's this part of me that just loves making stuff. I love producing. I'm not a person who's lazy. Not that I think lazy is even real. Like, unpack what we know about laziness. Like, who's repeating that someone is lazy, and what does that mean to them? Have we checked that their ethics aren't completely backwards and based on like capitalist lies, for one thing, right? So, I don't really think laziness is real. I think it's a myth, actually. I think a lot of times people want to make stuff. People want to make art. They may not want to make something that's valuable to someone else, but for the most part, I think people like to do stuff when their needs are met and, you know, they're not like being exploited for it. I've enjoyed when my bosses weren't there, you know, like I've enjoyed jobs that sucked because I like doing stuff. I like earning money. I think it's fun. And with that said, it's like, I just don't know anybody who's like, why would you work for... So here's what I said on this post. I just want to mention it because it just, the way that people are like, well, if wages go up, cost of living will go up. And it's like, baby, cost of living has already gone up and we are still just a podunk town. Like somebody's comparing like a rent in Nashville to rent here, and it's like literally the same, but in Nashville there's more job options. Like, anyway, people are just crying and throwing up, and I kind of, there's a part of me that's just like, I can't help but kind of laugh, because these are the same people that I just have experienced so much like weird rejection from, of like, oh, I'll never fit in. And I look at this and I'm like, thank God that I can't help but be myself. Thank God that I, you know, I'm going to be myself no matter what, because I just can't fucking help it. And thank God I'm not accepted by these people. Because clearly their values, they're backwards, you know? Let me see. We are having also in my town more and more homeless people. And every time somebody sees a homeless person here, people freak out. They're like, oh my God, how is there someone homeless here? And it's like, how do you fucking think? Like, they've literally never been anywhere. So they don't know that this is unfortunately a norm in America, that some people don't even have a home. Some people don't even have a place to sleep. Like, here we have zero, as far as I know, really no services. I think we have like a men's home somewhere. But if you're a woman and you're homeless, or I don't know, you don't look the way that some of these Christian organizations think you should look, you won't get any help. I was doing mutual aid just on a direct basis here for a while with one person who I won't name, just in case you are local. I'm not ever trying to talk about this as if I've like made some huge difference, but this person had been beaten up. They didn't even have glasses. And I tried to take them to Walmart to get new glasses, and he was like, I can't go in there, I've been kicked out. And when I asked, I went in just to ask, like, hey, we're not going to come into the store, but what about the optical department? You know, they're afraid to even come in. And now I understand why, because the manager of our local Walmart treated me like I was a criminal. And I just straight up, I went full Southern Christian mom on him. I was like, that's somebody's baby. I hope you sleep well at night, you know? And it's true. I mean, I hate it though, because there's this part of me that says, don't use shame as a tool, you know? Because that's the biggest tool that these people have, is to use shame. But yeah, this person's been kicked out of everywhere, kicked out of the local library. When a friend of mine was actually working at our local library, and I know exactly what happened there, because he was moving in a way that made people uncomfortable. Even though there's an old white man that comes into the local library like, where's my hug? Yeah, it's definitely the young black guy who's dancing in a way that some people might find confusing. Yes, that's what's making people uncomfortable. Not the old white man who's a where's my hug motherfucker. Like, and people will just hug him. The people that work at the library, they'll just hug him. And I'm like, y'all are so gross, you know, like making excuses like, oh, his wife died. And it's like, okay, he still doesn't get to just feel people up. Like, anyway, so to that post, that posting, I'm going to continue to talk about it because here's the thing. People have said, you know, oh, you just love drama. You love attention. Trust me, I don't. There are times where like, I cannot shut my mouth when I see something extremely unjust. I just can't help it. because there's so many people that can't speak up that I'm like, whatever, I can take it. I'll fucking say it. So I said, I do not feel sorry for employers who don't pay a living wage or provide benefits. Want better candidates? Provide better pay and benefits. And of course, you know, there's people in here that are like laugh reacting and so mad. But you know what? Good. I'm glad. I hope that I can interrupt their piece for just a minute, because you need to know that you don't own this town. Even if you have money, even if you own a business or whatever, you think you're hot shit because you're deacon at your church or whatever the fuck, you know, it's like you live in a little podunk town just like me. You're not any better than anybody else. So yeah, I don't know. I just can't when people are on about like, oh, they're lazy or somebody did drugs, they're just this irredeemable bad person. And it's just like, that's so fucking stupid, because half of these people judging, they're not any better. You know, it's like your kids don't even talk to you. Like, why are you like, who are you to say shit? Anyway, I said, I'm so glad I work online now and don't rely on local employers for survival. Thankfully, the world is leaving this entitled mentality behind. More and more, you will be upset if you're an employer who expects to pay people next to nothing and have them make you money at your store. You'll have to do the job yourself or pay more. Rent, insurance, and other bills are all increasing, but the pay is the same, and bosses like this are absolutely awful to be around. You probably don't realize this attitude is part of the problem. No one wants to be around someone who acts like this, though. Our labor is worth more than employers who think like this are willing to pay. So you'll stay mad. Maybe your business will fail. Maybe you'll blame it on bad employees. But the truth is, this is on employers who won't recognize the value of people's work. Have a good one. And I'm fucking right. Sorry. I just love that there are people in here that are agreeing with me. They're like, you're right. You know, I moved or I work online now, you know, and that's the thing. It's like we have a college here now, and more people are like, yeah, you can work minimum wage maybe for a little while, but you're going to have high turnover. Even if you know, you can make everybody the bad guy. Everybody else is the lazy fuck, whatever. And it just don't matter. It just doesn't matter. Times are changing and we're really leaving them behind. In a way, I find it sad, but at the same time, I see the kind of violence that this does. I mean, poverty is violence. People don't want to admit that. But when you are really just paying somebody that you know has kids or is just doing their fucking best to survive, and you are paying them the least amount you can just so you can have an abundance of money, I don't understand how that fits in with being a good Christian, y'all. I don't know how that fits in with the hard work narrative of like, work hard and you'll make money. It's like, that's not true. Like, clearly not. Childcare is expensive, and then there's a very little limited income-based childcare in this town. So it's like, what I'm noticing more and more is that people just leave. They're like, oh, there's nothing for me here. I have to leave. And eventually it's like, now that there's a college, there's more people coming and it's changing. We have spillover from other larger cities, which I don't like that in a way, because it's like, well, what about low-income people that are now getting pushed out of their housing? You know, I'm extremely grateful. I'm extremely lucky. I think I've talked about this. I'm not sure if I ever published it or not, but I'm just so grateful and lucky that I have a home, even though my home doesn't have floors, doesn't have a ceiling in one room. You know, in a lot of ways, I live in a way that I think a lot of people could not handle with just the lack, you know, like my stovetop is broken. You know, I could give you a list of the things in my home that don't work and are really difficult actually for me to navigate. And with that said, I have a home. I do not have to pay a rent. I own my home and this property. Talking about what land ownership actually means, that's a deeper, more complex conversation that I'm definitely here for. I don't think we can really own land, but in the eyes of this sham of a country and state, I technically do own this property by their standards. But again, it's like, consider the fact that every fucking thing that we have is stolen, right? It's really, and this is part of why I think sometimes people get all defensive. They're like, what do you mean I don't own this? I worked for it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but you shouldn't have had to. Everybody should have a home. Like literally everyone. And the land doesn't belong to us. I'm sorry. I own it, you know, in the way that like my name is on the deed. But I belong to the land, not the other way around. And I think that this is the part that makes a whole lot of white people real uncomfortable. That the idea that nature isn't there for us to take over, conquer, to do something with, to even to enjoy. It is, you know, has been used and abused in that way, but we see how that's where that's getting us. Like, yeah. So no, it's like we actually belong to the land, and being in right relationship with the land, for me, that is key. That is key in my healing. That's key in our collective healing, to repair our relationship with the land. So when I look at my little town, I look at the ways that I have in so many instances, I just like tried to jump through hoops to find approval from these people. And then it's like, I look at the hierarchy here. I look at what you have to do to be connected, you know, the way you have to like sell your soul. And it's like, I'm sorry, but I have so much more respect for people online selling photos of their butthole than I do for half of these people who are presenting themselves as being these virtuous, like perfect Christians. It's just because there's a point where it's like comical, you know? I don't want to give this person too much airtime, but I will say that there is a local-ish preacher who's literally burning books and literally talking about burning witches. And I think that even as backwards as it is here, I think it's important for people to know that a whole lot of folks here find that behavior deplorable and just like, you know, he's a nuisance and a grifter. He's trying to sell his books. That's why I'm not going to name him here, because like, he doesn't get a free spot on my podcast. But anyway, it's just, you look into this person, you know, I like looked into him for like 3 minutes, and he has all these arrests for like beating his wife. There's adultery. There's, you know, he left his wife for her best friend and divorced her, you know, like this whole thing. Like, you look at the people that are really trying to put themselves out as perfect, trying to condemn these external enemies. Like, this person, this pastor, I say, quote unquote, right? This pastor said in a sermon that autism isn't real and that it's just demons possessing kids or some shit. And it's like, yeah, there's people that still show up. There's people that still believe that and still go there. And like, I, on the one hand, it's like, it's so out there and so like depressing, like, wow, you're really that divorced from your own humanity, I guess. And then the other hand, it's like, and I don't want to ever give them attention. And then on the other hand, it's like, I can't ignore it, because that's, you know, think about the times we've ignored book burnings, the times we've ignored, you know, shit like that. It's not good to do that, right? So, book burners, who is it that said that, like, if you burn books, you'll eventually be burning people or some shit? And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what they would do if they could. And of course, police are just looking the other way. People online are like, oh, call the police, they're breaking Tennessee laws. The police don't care, y'all. They are on the same fucking side. They're not any better. I'm sorry. It's like the same fucking idiot police officers that called my cell phone about my grass being too long. Yeah, they're not going to do any. These kind of cops are not going to do anything about actual violence. Are you kidding? That would be like doing their job. I say these kind of cops, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, that's why a cop, okay? A cob, ACAB, does not mean all cops are bad, though that's true. It means all cops are bastards. And you probably know that if you're listening to this. This is not new information, okay? What that means is that all cops are part of a system that is bastardized. All cops are part of, you know, they're enforcing laws that are in many ways designed for oppression, designed around punishment. You know, these are the kind of things that make people want to get pitchforks and come to my house when I say them. And it doesn't mean that I don't know. I just can't help it. I'm gonna say it. The thing is, what happens when a good cop tells on the other cops, when he crosses that blue line or whatever, he gets fired. So that's what we're saying when we say a cop. It's not just like a trendy, edgy, like, I'm cool, cop's bad. No, dude, like there's an actual reason for it. And you know, it's in the same way that when the KKK marches, cops will, you know, they say, oh, it's freedom of speech, we have to defend their right. Part of it, too, is that, and I know this for sure, part of it is that a lot of them agree with what they're doing. So it's unpopular to say it all out loud. But I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. I actually have been thinking about this a lot, like when I was a kid, and I definitely said things that were, you know, could be considered microaggressions or racist or whatever. It's because I would say the quiet part out loud all the time as a kid or as a young person. With ADHD, I just would say my thoughts. I would repeat what I heard. I didn't understand that whatever was being said around me was a secret. I'm like, well, if you can say it around these people, why can't you say it around those people? And it's like, oh, wait, it's because that is a secret racism I wasn't supposed to say, you know? And so I had these moments of like someone confronting me being like, hey, that's a fucked up thing to say, or that's racist. And I'm like, so-and-so said this. And I just like, there was genuine confusion. Again, I'm not defending times that I have done shit like that. It's not at all that. I'm just explaining that like, I really would say the quiet part out loud, and I still do. And this has sort of fed into this like moral scrupulosity, because I've realized I literally cannot self-censor. I can't. So what I'm saying a lot of times, if it's not like a shit post, if it's not like a joke or like something I was just saying because I'm, you know, trying to be funny or whatever. And in those cases still, you know, I think we should consider the way we joke, what we find funny, like says a lot about us, right? And our beliefs. True. Okay. Sometimes something is a parody though, and I'm like, y'all, I would never suggest this, right? But anyway, I also understand that being ADHD and autistic, people can take things literally when it's not literal. So I just want to be clear that like, it's okay if you take something that I've said as a joke earnestly. I might just like let you know that I was joking, whatever. I try very hard not to make people feel shitty if I let them know that something they've taken literally was not meant to be taken that way, because I've done that before too. And people have made me feel like I'm fucking stupid for that. And doesn't feel good. But anyway, I will say, you know what? It might be that quiet part out loud is AAVE. Not sure. Or AAE. Let me see. If so, because I always find that the way that racism is like woven into everything, of course, we are going to find ourselves saying things that are, you know, wrong. Of course, we're going to, I think what's so weird, like, some people will be like, well, everything's racist when they find out things like the word picnic or the word deadline or the song from the ice cream truck, like whatever it is, like when they find out that there's kernels of racism that have grown, some of the things that we think are just normal day to day, like shit. It's weird because some people will go, oh, well, everything's racist. Why am I even trying? And then there are people like me on the other hand. And again, this is not to make me look like a good person because I don't, you know, I don't think I am. I think I'm forever gonna be trying to make up for harm I've done in my life, like to this point. But I think there's others of us who are like, whoa, racism's woven into everything. Like to the point where I look at my education and I'm like, what part of this wasn't a lie? What part of this is actually based in fact? Because it seems like almost everything I learned in public school was a lie. And that is kind of what I'm still reckoning with, what I'm trying to kind of figure out for my kid. Like, do I send him to public school? The public school that there's still some teachers there that probably hate me. The public school where I fucking had a horrible time, where there was no electives that I cared about. We didn't have theater. We had one foreign language to choose from. We had, you know, fucking football, a football team that sucked, might I add. And really nothing else. Like, I mentioned at some point that I had this phase of not like other girls, right? Which is something we all make fun of. I think I know adults who are still kind of like this. And yeah, you need to grow out of that. But I also kind of understand where that comes from. You know, when you're the weirdest bitch you know, and it feels like everybody is rejecting you because you're weird or you're different or whatever, it's very easy to lean into, well, I'm just not like anyone else, so I'm going to use this as a way to feel superior. That's a very immature way to go, but I fucking did that. And I think I can own it now just because I realized where that came from. It wasn't about, well, I can own it not because I'm proud of it, because I'm not, right? But it was that I'm going to reject you before you can reject me pattern. That's what that was, or is, you know. I'm still working through it. And I don't think I published the episode, but I did a long spiel at one point about how so many of the interests that I just got picked on for in school are now really popular. So many of the things that I was interested in, like mushrooms, for example, or, you know, like, I remember very distinctly, like, eating clover on the playground as a child because I knew you could. And I thought that that was really fascinating, that there was just these different weeds, this food available everywhere. And I remember showing other kids, like, look, you can eat this, which who knows what they put on the yard when I was in school, what they put, you know, where we did recess. It was probably full of, like, bug killer, but, you know, I was still like, look, this plant is called dead nettle and you can eat it. And people made fun of me relentlessly and like called me a goat, which is so funny because like I am a goat. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a goat. I'm a Capricorn as fuck. And I also can recognize that I'm really hard on other people. I'm hard on myself. I'm extremely hard on myself. I'm so fucking, like, mean to myself. And then that can translate, too, in, like, my expectations and my standards for other people are just not realistic either. You know, it can be really hard on other people. And it's something I'm working on, like, confronting, because I don't want to be hard on other people, and I definitely don't want to be so fucking mean to myself. Like, it's stupid. But anyway, I am still acknowledging and noticing in myself how sometimes instead of being excited that more people are interested in the things that I love, I feel a little slighted. I feel angry because it's like I experienced all this rejection and now Now, y'all are into this. Y'all are making careers out of it. Y'all are, you know, I didn't know I could be a fucking mycologist. I didn't know I could study mushrooms in college, like, as a thing. I didn't know I could be a researcher just following my interest, you know, like, professionally. What? I had no idea. I didn't know about that until I was, like, in college or maybe even after, you know? So I really had all of these things where I just felt, yeah, like, oh, well, y'all rejected me. Now this is your thing and you didn't have to go through that. And it's just, you know what I'm noticing? There's, like, a little bit of a parallel here where people in my town will be like, well, I suffered making 15 cents, walking walking uphill in the snow both ways to school. And so now kids these days, they need to also suffer in this way. And it's like, you know what? Everybody has different things that they're suffering from or that hurt them. Or, you know, like, it's just not fair for me to be like that. So it's something I'm trying to work through, especially when it's like, just going to be really vulnerable here too. And it's like with tarot, I feel like for me being like open about it was a big deal. Being like offering readings, all of this stuff was like, I never thought that I would ever have the courage to do that. And now it's like a big trend. And that's fine. It's good. There's more people that are into what I'm into. And my way is totally unique. I don't really, you know, I have influences. There's people I can point to and be like, yeah, I learned from this person. I learned from that person. And still, I think the way that my way of reading is like just totally mine. But I still feel sometimes like, oh my gosh, there's people here doing this now. It's so saturated, like, meh. It's not even about like competition with business, because I don't really worry about that. I don't care that much about that part of it. Maybe that sounds weird. It's more about the things that made me feel special or unique, which, again, it's like that is so, it's so uncomfortable to admit that. Like, I feel like such a stupid little baby. Admitting that, you know, these are the things that I felt like made me unique or special. And, oh, there's other people doing it and getting like attention for it and saturating, like selling their stuff and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, ugh, it's so yucky. It's like, it's not a thing I want to feel. I don't think I have it so much with tarot because I feel like I've gone so far with it. I've gone so deep into my practice, you know, I can hear somebody else rattle off interpretations I don't agree with, and I can do so without flinching because it's none of my business, like, whatever. That's what they think, or that's their way. It's not my business. Maybe it works for them. But I think, yeah, it does come down to, I think, herbalism and mushrooms and stuff that has to do with nature and the land, I think, is where I get irritated and upset, because it's like we're still just like continuing to use the earth like a dumpster. And like I said, here locally, just like littering the fuck out of this place. And it's like I think part of it too is this little regret that like younger me just didn't have. I say regret like it's something I had control over, and it's not. I didn't have resources to explore my interests. Like, I was really shunned for being interested in mushrooms, which I think sounds so insane. Like, sorry, I'm working on not saying just like crazy, insane, dumb, idiot. I'm actually really trying to not say those things anymore. I know they're not the best words, and yes, I'm working on it. But I think it's wild to think that when there's like these TikTok accounts with 6 million followers, just like following guys who are just like looking at mushrooms, talking about them, you know, doing the kind of stuff that I would have loved to do. And it's like, God, they've got I don't know, maybe it's like part of it's like, oh, I think they have something I don't, when that's not true because I don't know anything about these people. It's not, it's just, this is my issue, right? But then on top of it, it's like the more and more that some of these things trend, it's like I see people foraging or taking, but they're not giving anything back. And I don't, again, nobody specific comes to mind. I'm not trying to like, I think the more that we can go outside, the more relationship you can build with the land, the better. Like, please do that. Oh my God. Just, you know, if you're able to meet some of your local native plants, like do it and cultivate them. If you can let your yard grow, if you can even just have a little patch of native wildlife in your yard, that is better than none. Okay. But I'm not really seeing that. I don't see the offerings. I don't see the making space for nature kind of stuff. I see more that people are going out and they're ripping up the ramps, or they're taking, you know, they're foraging and taking and giving, and not a lot of the time when you're foraging, especially if it's not like, you know, dandelion or, you know, these really abundant plants like violet, dandelion, plantain, these are all amazing plants. Like, you can't really fuck it up. You can't take too many. Okay. If you go and you see a native plant that you just don't know what it is, if you see a plant that looks really interesting, you don't have to pick it. Like, take a photo, you know? I don't really, mushrooms, I don't know. I know that there are people that worry about picking the mushrooms. I don't, other than like your safety, I don't think mushrooms are such a big deal. There's a lot of people who really know what they're doing. They pull mushrooms up and it's not the same as pulling up native wildflower and then letting it die or something, you know, something that's rare. But yeah, I do see that. I see people foraging and not really caring or even considering the plant, which is like the whole point, I think. It's the relationship, not so you can have a piece of something that no one else has, right? So anyway, I'm just coming full circle with this story, I think, where it's just like, I don't know. As I heal myself, as I look at my relationship with the land and other people, I have to remember that I think anytime I've ever in a very false way, like pumped myself up as if I'm smarter or better or bigger than anybody else, it's just not true. And it was a defense mechanism. It was, let me reject you before you reject me. And again, I'm working on it, you know? I'm working on, especially if I hear someone do something or say something that I know is racist or that I have personally been corrected on, I'm working on not necessarily coddling that, because I'm not here for that, right? Like, but if I'm the person that they're going to listen to, I'm here, I need to be able to put my thoughts and my knowledge in a way that doesn't make that person feel stupid or ashamed, you know, like, because shame is just not a good tool. I come back to this sentence so much, like just in my day. And when I see the way that other people behave and the way that I have behaved, the way that I've used shame in ways that shame has been used against me to control me or to shut me up or to whatever. And so shame is not a good tool. If you can look at the ways that other people or that you're using shame in your life and change that, that is healing. That is actually very healing. When we address it and choose to do things differently, even when it's hard, if you can choose to do things differently, if you can choose to, you know, for me too, it's like saying what, especially in situations where I know it's not going to be well received, you know, like online or anywhere else, it's like say what needs to be said, but then I don't have to use shame as a tool. I can just say what needs to be said. I don't have to talk about how they're a shitty person, you know? I think on some level, a lot of people that grew up in environments where you're indoctrinated, there's either this belief, there maybe it is like this denial of your humanity, right? It has to happen. It's like, oh, if I admit that I have issues myself, then anything I do isn't valid or something. And it's just not true. But anyway, just coming back around to knowing, I think, where I begin and where I end, and when it comes to seeing injustice, and when I feel like I can't not say something, it's like I can still choose how I say it, and I can still choose if it's the right time. Because sometimes I'll say something too soon, and it's like I open up this whole can of worms that I can't really, you can't put the worms back in the can, you know? So I think some of my anxiety about this podcast is like someone's going to hear it and think I'm bad, or they'll find something I've said and be like, well, myth is the XYZ. And like, the thing is, I think what I have to know about myself and know about other people, like one thing that gives me hope is that we're always changing, you know, something that I say in episode one, like I'm sure has shifted since then. And it's not even been that long. I think in 2021, that was the year, this past year was like my most rapid growth. As hard as things got and as much bullshit as I put up with and went through and even did myself in some cases, it's like, God, I have fucking grown. I've grown so much. One thing I wanted to say too about trauma and healing cycles of trauma. I've seen people say like, oh, you can't just do that as one person. You know, you can't on your own heal intergenerational trauma. And then the reaction to that statement is like despair. It's like, what? I can't? And I think what I want to say about that is you can only do what you can see. You can really only address what is known to you and what is available for you, right? If you don't have the tools to even know yourself, in that case, well, it's like, of course, you can't heal a wound if you don't know you're fucking bleeding. But I think the point of you can't do it on your own is not to make you feel like, oh, it's impossible, just give up, right? When you realize that oppression is woven into every single thread of the United States, it's not, oh, let's give up on the land here. No, actually, it's like just knowing the truth, knowing yourself, knowing actually what is happening here in reality. It's not meant to, you can be the, oh, this is too exhausting, I'm just gonna give up. I guess you can do that. I mean, I don't recommend it. I recommend rest and keep going, and teach your kids to give a fuck, and teach the people around you just by example, not by preaching, even though I feel kind of preachy right now. You're choosing to listen to it. If you're still here, you're choosing this, right? Either way, all I'm trying to say is like, you can model how to rest and keep going, keep trying. That's what it means when it's like, you can't do it alone. That's literally everything. What can you actually do alone? Like, what can you do that matters in such a big way for other people where you're just doing it by yourself? Like, fucking, I don't know of anything. I think we need other people for that. We need other people to heal the collective. And knowing and just being rejected and being a rejecter in many cases, it's like, ugh. That realization at times doesn't feel good because we're raised to be hyper independent. We're raised to be do everything yourself, never ask for help, blah, blah, blah. I mean, even if your parents didn't teach you that, over culturally, we have that messaging, right? This American individualist bullshit. So it's like, there's a part of me that, like, when I look at all of these weird busted values and fake virtues that we're raised with, it's like, for me, it's like, what's the opposite? And I wonder how that would work. And I know that might sound like, oh, that's very reactionary. I'm not saying just do the opposite. I'm saying, look at the opposite. What is the opposite? What is the opposite of hyper individualization, right? What is the opposite of just never relying on anyone and burning yourself out, doing everything yourself? Well, the opposite of that is to acknowledge our interdependence on other people. I think with COVID and this whole pandemic shit, it's like, I think that was like for a lot of people, a wake up call of like, actually the health of our neighbor is our health. You know, like what happens to people near me is also happening to me. It's almost like we're just one person. It's almost like we're all interconnected and we're all part of the same fucking thing, you know? I was talking to, who was it? Maybe my brother. I was talking to him about how we're all one thing. And he's like, well, I don't agree with that. And I'm like, that's fine. I know there are parts of me that don't agree with it either. But it's like, yeah, I really think I've ranted so much. I'm just trying to come back around to what I was fucking talking about. Oh, just how the opposite of being an individualist is to be connected and part of the collective. And there's this part of me that has always felt like it's really unfair that I'm such a fucking weirdo and such an extrovert. It's like, if I'm going to be so different from everyone around me, why can't I at least shut up about it? Why can't I at least not be so external with everything? But now I think I know why. And it's, and part of it is that there are other weirdos there. In fact, I don't think I am that much of a weirdo. It's so funny how that sort of like weird self-identifying thing can work, where it's like, well, I have to cling to this other identity because I don't fit in anywhere else. And then, oh no, if that identity starts getting taken away from me, even though at first it's not even what I wanted, and I wanted to be, you know, part of something. Well, when they start, when it feels like that's being taken from me, that also feels like a threat. So anyway, being a person is complicated and also very fucking simple. Like, I think, again, other than, well, still related, I think the COVID times we're in, it's like, I have really had to start paying attention to my body in a way that I never have before. Not even just my diet stuff and pain and chronic like illness crap that I've dealt with, but also in the way of like, when somebody asks me to do something, noticing in my body, like, do I really want to do that? Like, how do I feel? Does this feel like an obligation or does this feel like legit? Like, am I actually available for it? I'm definitely overcorrected in that area too and just been like, fuck you, pay me, about things that I should have probably not done that about, or I didn't have to be like that. When I could have just said like no or just ignored the request or whatever, it's like I don't know. It's hard. It is hard to sometimes do work that I know I put a lot of myself into, but a lot of people, at least locally, don't want to pay for, or at least not pay my rate. So again, we've seen how locals talk and think about other people's labor. So, excuse me, just burping in your ear again. God, I made these black bean brownies. My husband made these amazing black bean brownies that I like am addicted to. And anyway, I think they just really shocked me. Like, how the fuck are there beans in this? It doesn't taste like beans. You can hear cars outside my window, but I should probably just stop talking. I think I'm going to post this, though. I'm going to send it anyway, publish whatever it's called, put it out into the world. And yeah, I mean, I feel like the people that are hypercritical of me are probably not going to listen to me talk for hours. But then again, I don't know. People do strange things with their time. But I just can't hide, like I've mentioned before. I can't hide. I will say the quiet part out loud. And that's actually not a curse. That is a benefit. That is a blessing. Because when I say the quiet part out loud, whatever it is, the thing that other people are not going to say, it either speaks to something within someone else that they couldn't verbalize, or I'm saying something bad. I'm saying something rooted in a bias that I have, and someone can point it out and I can actually learn. I can grow. I can do better. I can figure out where that belief or implication came from. And ultimately that's good. As a morally scrupulous person who never wants to make anyone mad, I think it's hard, but at the same time, it's like, no, this is actually a good thing. Because if you're hiding and you're never saying what you think and what you believe is actually kind of bigoted or bad, again, it's like I'm labeling things good and bad when it's like, if it's rooted in bias or oppression, they never have the opportunity to get corrected or get confronted and change that. And I always get to have that opportunity because I can't shut the fuck up. Anyway, I love you guys and gals and everybody in between and outside of the binary as well. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you. If you're like a friend of mine and we haven't talked in a while, like, thank you for being my friend. I do think about y'all. I think about a lot of people all the time, and then I never reach out because I feel like I'm bothering you, which I know is bullshit, but you know, one day at a time. I love y'all. If you are one of my patrons, thank you so much. Thank you so much. At any level of support, you are keeping food in my fridge. You are keeping lights on in my house. And yeah, I really couldn't even make, I couldn't make this podcast. I couldn't do anything without you. So thank you, patrons. That is at patreon.com/sleepyhousehealing. If you're my friend on Twitter, thank you. I'm on Twitter at a mythic witch. It's not Amy Thickwitch. It just looks like it. My name is not Amy. My name is Myth. And what else was I going to say? Yeah, I'll put some payment links in the, what is it? The description. And I'm going to stop talking about ways you can pay me because maybe you don't want to do that. But let me just tell you, I appreciate the fuck out of y'all who choose to pay me because I want to just give everything away that I do. And I don't want anybody to ever have to listen to an ad ever, especially on a podcast where I'm going to like cough into the phone microphone. So, all right. I love y'all. Bye.